KCSB FM in Santa Barbara 91.9. This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Elizabeth Truong with KCSB News. This is the show that shares what's happening in and around Isla Vista and the UC Santa Barbara community. On tonight's show, UC Santa Barbara opens its doors to visitors from all over the world for the All Gaucho Reunion Weekend. Before we jump right in, we'll do a quick recap of Deltopia, which happened earlier this month. Any gaucho that's graduated in the past 20 years or so should be familiar with Deltopia, the unofficial spring street party that happens every year in Isla Vista. However, as KCSB's Brandon Yee reports, this year's event was larger than it had been in several years.
For the past 13 years, students and visitors from around town to different corners of the world have come to Isla Vista's Del Playa Street to attend Deltopia. Deltopia is an unsanctioned street festival that takes place on the first weekend of UCSB Spring Quarter, and April 6, 2024 marked the 13th annual celebration of the festival. The Isla Vista tradition roughly began in 2008 to 2009 as Flowtopia, a large beach event that eventually switched to Deltopia in 2010. This switch was a response to the community's shutting down of Isla Vista beaches due to safety concerns, and after the two-year COVID-19 hiatus from 2020 to 2021, Deltopia has returned for 2022 and has continued. This year's Deltopia marked the most attendees over the past several years, charting an approximate attendance of 25,000 festival goers, an approximate 10,000-person increase in relation to last year's attendance. However, the increase of attendance also brought about record-level citations and had overwhelmed emergency medical services. The Daily Nexus provides an account of Lieutenant Gareth Tesla of IVFP, Isla Vista Foot Patrol, comparing this year's citations compared to 2014. Lieutenant Tesla remarked that this year's citation rate was 35% higher than the preceding decade's records. According to the SPSO, Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office, this year's records were made up of 256 citations and made 32 arrests, which were all misdemeanors. And 13 of the 256 citations were given for illegal parties that did not comply with the social host ordinance and the outdoor festival ordinance. Another 3 citations were issued for unlicensed drivers and 1 for driving without a license. These ordinances were recently placed to remove party fees and to modulate noise and overoccupation. Lieutenant Tesla was accompanied by officers from the SPSO, UC Police Department, Santa Maria Police Department, and the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control. However, no misdemeanors were eligible for the Isla Vista Foot Patrol's Restorative Justice Program. According to the UCSB Office of Conduct, the program is used as a conflict resolution method that helps waive nonviolent misdemeanor citations by completing a class and community service hours. The IVFP Restorative Justice Program was suspended from 6 a.m. on Saturday, April 6th, to 6 a.m. on Sunday, April 7th, 2024. The suspension was organized by local law enforcement because Deltopia was perceived as an event that could bring about casualties and fatalities. Officer Gary Gaston stated that the program was suspended due to Deltopia being an unsanctioned event. And according to NewsHawk, officers are currently investigating a sexual assault case and had stopped a young man from harming himself by attempting to run off a bluff edge. Emergency medical service response calls also reached a new record this year. According to data provided by the Daily Nexus, 106 medical calls were placed and 35 people required transportation to local hospitals for treatment, compared to last year's 60 medical calls and 33 hospital transportations. The vast majority of these calls were made for alcohol intoxication. Medical tents were also set up outside of Isla Vista's Trigo Road, where EMTs assessed 56 patients. 41 patients were able to be released without being transported to a hospital for emergency services. Officer Gaston remarked that ambulances from Santa Barbara County were reserved for the weekend, and when the amount of ambulances were exhausted, the UC Police Department would receive support from Santa Maria. Sheriff deputies also used pickup trucks and police cars to transport individuals to medical tents or a local hospital. Alongside Deltopia, another event had occurred at Little Acorn Park, parallel to Del Playa Street. The Isla Vista Community Center hosted the Spring Festival to provide a distant checkpoint for festival goers away from Deltopia. The event provided live music, water and snacks, Narcan and fentanyl kits, and sanitary wipes to around 2,800 people. The Daily Nexus provides another account of Lieutenant Tesla recalling that only 1 dose of Narcan was administered. and to prevent overcrowding, the California Highway Patrol stopped and screened 310 out of 800 passing cars at a Stork Road checkpoint coming out of Isla Vista. The Nexus reports that 4 citations were delivered and 1 arrest was made for drunk driving. To anticipate the coming Deltopia year, the SBSO stated that they will not have a smaller police presence after this year's outcome. For KCSB News, this is Brandon Yee.
This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Elizabeth Truong with KCSB News. This past weekend, UC Santa Barbara hosted its annual All Gaucho Reunion. It lasted from Thursday, April 18th to Sunday, April 21st. A series of events were hosted, including a professor slam, a bonfire at the beach, and a fencing tournament, just to name a few. The All Gaucho Reunion was organized by UCSB Alumni, a nonprofit organization established in 1965. Their mission is to, quote, build mutually beneficial lifelong relationships with UCSB alumni for the purpose of promoting philanthropy, mobilizing for advocacy, and providing opportunities for service to UC Santa Barbara, end quote. It is a familiar study spot for current students, and it is a destination for many conferences and events for visitors. The house is dedicated to welcoming and bringing together current and former students, and the UCSB community at large. On Saturday, April 20th, the annual Communication Career Day was hosted across campus at Corwin Pavilion. Not only did it bring together the UCSB community, it attracted many communication undergraduate students. I got a chance to speak with a student that attended the event.
Okay. My name is Hans. I am a fourth year, and I am a communication major. We got a chance to connect with different alumni from UCSB, exploring not only their career paths, post-grad, what they're currently doing, and how we can learn and have inspiration for our own lives post-grad.
Hans explained what he learned from the event.
It is really important to be uncomfortable in the comfortability of networking, because if you don't put yourself out there, it's very difficult to know the opportunities that can be present and exist for you if you simply show up.
This year's event was themed Hitting Your Stride, as explained by the Chair of Communication Alumni Council, David Bellinger.
Well, Hitting Your Stride, we were, you know, it's directly related to your career, and you know, when you start to figure out what you're good at and what you have passion for in your career, you know, how do you take that and continue moving forward with the same effort and attentiveness as you do when you're trying to like find out what you're working on. So really hitting your stride and figuring out what you're good at in general in your career.
This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Elizabeth Truong with KCSB News. That was Hans Herman and David Bellinger sharing their thoughts on Communication Career Day. Linda Putnam is a former UCSB communication professor who joined the department in 2007. She was the lead event organizer for the event this past Saturday. She talked about the history of Communication Career Day.
And I got appointed to a committee to help plan that. And people kept saying, well, let's get the alumni involved. And we could, how do we know our alumni? And so in 2009, we had the very first career day. And we didn't have too many students, but I think we had about 100 that came, a little less than 100, and maybe 15 alumni or so. And now it has grown to be, we had nearly 400 students here and 50 alumni who came. And they come from all walks and all types of careers, and students learn so much from them, and they form bonds. Okay, there's nearly 50 that came this year, and they're coming from mostly, they're California, to be honest. They're mostly from L.A., San Francisco, San Diego, so forth. But we, on our council, we have 2 people from Washington State. In the past, we've had 2 people from New York that will come from New York. And sometimes people just want to come back to Santa Barbara. So they'll come from Colorado. They'll come from Texas. We've really had them come from all over the U.S. Just because they want to come back and be part of the All Gaucho Reunion and part of Santa Barbara.
Alumni shared about their careers and observed the changes they've noticed around the UCSB campus and Isla Vista community.
Currently, I am a private mortgage banker at Wells Fargo. Well, I mean, the university looks a lot different than when I was here. But the commitment to excellence in education, the how motivated the students are really to move forward with their education and their careers and really be prepared for that seems to be one of the biggest differences that I see, is that the students are motivated to try to find what their, you know, what their passions are before they graduate and really get out there into the working world. You know, well, I'd say that you know, the Comm Alumni Council and the Department of Communication have really put a lot of effort into this day and making sure that it's part of the All Gaucho reunion. So we really enjoy being part of the UCSB community, and you know, go Gauchos.
This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Elizabeth Truong with KCSB News. Communication Career Day is part of a series of events that are part of the UC Santa Barbara's annual All Gaucho Reunion. That was Linda Putnam and David Bellinger sharing the history of the event and their insights on Communication Career Day. Now we hear our remaining guests, Alex Doyle and Cesar Gochez.
My name is Alex Doyle, and I am here at Comm Career Day from Procore Technologies down in Carpinteria. I currently serve as Chief of Staff and the Head of HR Strategy and Operations for the Chief People Officer. So I work in HR basically build our strategy, support the leadership team with effectiveness and all that good stuff. Well, a lot has changed, but I would say some of the biggest things are how there's so many new, beautiful buildings. The library is greatly expanded, and it's just such, it was already an amazing place to work, but it is so much more amazing now. Otherwise, it was actually interesting driving through. A lot of stuff is exactly as I remember it, and that was very wonderfully nostalgic for me. So some things have changed, you know, visibly. I'm sure a lot more has changed culturally. But overall, it's still the great UCSB that I remember, which is lovely.
Hello, my name is Cesar Gochez. I am a UCSB alumni, and I am from Long Beach, California. I currently do tutoring part-time, and then I also do behavior therapy part-time. Oh, yeah, they don't have Buddha bowls anymore. I'm really sad about that one. Wait, that's not even on campus.
This year, the All Gaucho Reunion event had attracted many alumni. Unfortunately, a member of the class of 2023 died from falling from a bluff in Isla Vista the same weekend. As News Hawk reports, the young man had climbed over a balcony at 6625 Del Playa Drive Saturday afternoon and fell 50 feet. He was rushed to Santa Barbara Cottage Hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. This is the second death by bluff fall during an All Gaucho reunion in the past 3 years. Santa Barbara officials have been urging property owners to raise fence heights along Del Playa and have offered financial incentives to do so. This is critical as Del Playa is frequented by many visitors, which increases the risk that more people's lives are on the line.
Due to the high number of deadly cliff falls, along with strong storms this year, which cause bluff erosion, Santa Barbara County Supervisor Laura Capps, who represents Isla Vista, has made bluff safety a priority. Here is Supervisor Capps speaking with KCSB News reporter Clarissa Holm last year about her concerns about bluff dangers.
I want to talk about some of the commissions that you're on. I know you're a co-chair of the Beach Erosion Commission.
Uh-huh.
And can you talk about, just like with the storms, what are some of the things that you guys are sort of looking out for with beach erosion?
Well, number one is safety and people being as safe as possible with balconies, and not too many kids or too many students on balconies is the number one. So Isla Vista Community Service District has done a great job of putting out warning. We're just amplifying those efforts and getting the word out that safety is first and foremost. And I'm also interested in looking at some kind of protection along the bluffs so that there shouldn't be students that, you know, that perish too often, you know, from falling off a cliff late at night or whatever the circumstance. And so I'm in favor of some sort of fence, some sort of barricade that would, you know, stop this. Too many have happened over the last several years, and to me that those kind of tragedies should be prevented. Beach erosion is a big issue, obviously related to climate change and our storms and these climate related events. We see, Goleta Beach has a bunch of sediment on it now because we need to do that. The county, that's a safety measure as well, because there's these storm basins up in the hills that capture water, so that prevents flooding and sort of the destruction that we've seen from people's houses and even their lives. And so that those basins then get cleared out and help with the erosion problem at Goleta Beach. So there's a lot with beach erosion. It's a big topic, but if there's one word to associate with beach erosion, it's safety for people living in Isla Vista.
Yeah, that's definitely a top priority. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just if anyone wants to be in touch, or they have questions, or they have issues that they think that we should be aware of, they should reach out. My email is lcapps@countyofsb.org. And we'll be doing another Coffee with CAPS soon. So that's just a good way to be in touch with us, and know that there's people working on your behalf in your county government. And we want you to have the best experience you possibly can, either while you're a student or while you're living in Isla Vista.
In recent months, Supervisor CAPS, working with representatives of Ivy's local government, the Community Service District came up with Bluff Safety Plan, which has been adopted by the County Board of Supervisors. The plan, which calls for property owners to build higher 6-foot fencing along Del Playa and to create a memorial landmark dedicated to all of the victims of Bluff Falls who have died over the years. All of us at KCSB extend our sincere condolences to the family and friends of Jacob Parker, a gaucho from the class of 2023, who died in a cliff fall this past weekend. Finally, it's elections week at UCSB. Students are casting their votes for who they want to be their next Associated Students student body president and to fill other executive leadership and Senate positions. Several candidates say they will address basic needs and food security issues among the campus community if they are elected. There is already a food bank at UCSB. The Associated Students Food Bank serves hundreds of students a week, and its student leaders work hard to address the changing needs of the students they serve. Last year, KCSB's Clarissa Holm spoke with members of the AS Food Bank team to learn more.
I'm Daniel Chavez, the food bank coordinator and staff supervisor assigned to support the student-run, student-led food bank.
My name is Celeste. I go by she, her pronouns. I'm a fifth year here at UCSB student. And I handle more so of our partnerships and outreach, and I've been at the food bank for a couple of years now. So it's been in for the long haul for sure.
I think your question is asking like how food insecurity affects students in a day-to-day life. And I know when we've been fortunate enough to present at classes, we've done little exercises where we kind of ask students to really empathize and reflect on the physical effects of food insecurity. And that's something that, or your listeners can do at home and just kind of sit down a little bit after you wake up and realize that your stomach's grumbling and you maybe have a little fuzzy brain. And it's kind of hard to start your day without having a proper breakfast. And just imagine skipping one or two meals and yet still having the incredible responsibilities of being a student and trying to focus on class or trying to focus on your responsibilities, getting through the day while still not having the nutrients you need. That's so difficult. And we're happy to be able to try to, offer more snack items, more meals on the go with our vending machine program. Those sort of connections with food to be able to get people the fuel they need to keep going.
When having access to food at all is a struggle, it can be hard to sort of think about nutrition along with that. So talk to me a little bit about how you work to make sure that people are getting the proper nutrition.
Sure. I mean, like Andrew mentioned, we do have variety of meals that we provide and meals that some are pre-made, like for example, like right now we have like this like tuna, it's kind of like a fan favorite actually, this tuna can and cracker mix that you can just snack on maybe. We also offer produce like almost every day, or as much as we try, as much as we can whenever we get it. And I think having a healthy like balance between like, you know, getting a snack, whether it be like a Kind bar or like Goldfish or like, I don't know, some sort of Clif bar, and along with maybe like an apple that we have at the vending machine, I mean at the food bank, those are like a good way to like balance the two, or like really just like target both savory and sweet.
Okay, so this nutrition and getting all the calories that you need might look different for different people. So how do you guys accommodate different dietary needs, like kosher foods, for example?
Oh, we actually have a program called Kosher Law Program, and it's run by one of our team members, Cassie, and she does like a lovely job at making sure that it's basically like a weekly pre-packaged bag that is made specifically to those individuals who are kosher to law, like so that's just one way that we try to like make sure we are inclusive. And another way is just really, like I said earlier, trying to increase the variety that we have and that we offer at the food bank by trying to be as culturally aware of the foods that are available by our vendors and trying to purchase them so that those our students are able to access them as well.
So you talked about the veterans, which is a group that I just wouldn't know that the student food bank supports. So what are some other like groups of people that you guys serve?
We serve about a quarter of the student population, so about 22.5% last year, distributing over 200,000 pounds of food.
Just last year, from 2021-2022, we distributed maybe like 179,651 pounds of food. And yeah, and we got over like 5,000, close to 6,000 registered students in just that year alone. And, but yeah, I mean, on average, like today, I think we see like maybe about like upwards 500 to 600 students every day that we're open. Yeah, so we do see a large influx of students every day, and they're all like diverse, you know, student parents, as well graduate students, as and we definitely supported them during the strike and are continuing to do so as well.
Yeah, I think it's about engagement, and we have a great team here at the food bank that really cares about every individual person that comes through, and through that is it's transformed in the engagement we have with different clubs and different areas of campus that maybe aren't even aware of the food bank. And so when we see a student come in and that's a freshman or a sophomore, and they are first using and signing up for our service, it's like, wow, we've gotten that person for the next 4 years compared to the person that comes in a week before graduation and was like, I just learned about this. I wish I would have known about it. So we're constantly trying to engage different groups, especially ones that we don't necessarily see represented in our demographic information. So one statistic that Celeste brought up is that you know, we serve about 70% female identifying students, so we definitely want to reach the gap of male identifying students out there. And so we've tried to partner with different groups on campus that are predominantly male identifying, like fraternities and different clubs, like sports teams. We are always trying to find more culturally relevant food items. And so we've been procuring different items. Can you think of some items that are more culturally relevant besides tortillas?
Tortillas. I mean, so many.
Yeah, we've had some hominy, water chestnuts, all those different products that, you know, people use on a daily that we might not know. It's just like you're asking your question, you know, there's so many groups of people out there that we might not know are organized and have a big presence on campus, but are being overlooked for a lot of different reasons. And we want to engage those groups and bring them here, and then also meet them at the best place that they're at their food table, you know, and offer those items to them.
Yeah, that's really great. Heading into the holiday season, how do you guys look to increase engagement during the holiday season?
Well, we are open like now. We're open Tuesdays and Thursdays, well, this week and next week, because we know that a lot of students, international students or any student for whatever reason, some are not able to go home. And so they stay in IV. So we are staying open so that we can be able to service them still, and they still have access to food just like they would during a normal quarter. I'd say we are trying to engage them best by like continuously to post on our Instagram, and to be able to like, so that they know that we're still open. Word of mouth, really. I mean, I think the food bank is really just community center, and like what Daniel was saying earlier, that whether it's a freshman who's just starting and we get the, for the next 4 years, like sometimes I think one of the my favorite parts, I mean there's many favorite parts of working here, but one of my favorite parts is seeing a student bring their friends, and then rather than like one of us give them a tour, like it's their friend giving them a tour of like, oh, this is how it works, don't worry, like I got it. And I think that's the biggest way that we are able to like broadcast our services is really just word of mouth, aside from like social media and like our partners and whatnot.
Pose the question of what holidays are you talking about? Because I know Celeste can talk a little bit about a program that we're working on for Lunar New Year. And there's plenty of different holidays that we try to incorporate in our calendar of events and engage different clubs on campus to that are celebrating those to, one, bring more cultural relevancy to, you know, our services, but also, you know, we always tie it back to food and being able to offer certain products for the season. My dream is still someday to celebrate the Autumn Festival year with mooncakes. It's a far-reaching dream, but if you want to talk about that.
Sure. I mean, it's a brand, it's similar to our Golden Ticket kind of event that we had previously, but this time it'll be in red envelopes and we'll have a Golden Ticket inside. And these will be distributed in like Asian identifying orgs, and so for them to distribute within their org. And from there, they'll be able to reclaim the ticket that's inside the envelope and get a prize here at the food bank. But yeah, we're really excited. And this is all like in celebration of the Lunar New Year.
Yeah, and before in the past, the Golden Ticket idea was used during convocation and given out. So these like Golden Tickets, just like the Willy Wonka Golden Tickets, are a certain amount are given out in bags offered by Associated students to the new incoming freshmen and transfer students. And then so some people will get a Golden Ticket, but most people will get a Silver Ticket, and that'll have a different prize, but it's really just engagement, getting students to come in and visit the food bank, especially for the first time. And it's so exciting to see new students, especially in their first few weeks of campus, rushing in here with their friends and being like, I have this Golden Ticket, and being able to redeem it for a cool swag item or whatever we have offered.
You've been listening to Inside Isla Vista on KCSB FM in Santa Barbara. Thanks for tuning in Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to find out what's happening in and around Isla Vista. I'm Elizabeth Truong with KCSB News. Our theme music is Siesta by Jawsman. This is 91.9.